Well, good evening. I'd love to thank Gordon once again for his welcome. It's good to be back again tonight. The weeks seem to be flying very quickly, and I've enjoyed the time I've been with you over the last couple of weeks, and we're looking to the Lord once again to bless us this evening. We're turning to 2 Peter chapter 2 tonight, and I'm going to read the whole chapter. 2 Peter chapter 2. On the first evening that we were together, we looked at the first part of the first chapter, 2 Peter, and we were looking at the subject, adding to your faith. Peter was conscious that he wasn't going to be around when the Lord comes in his second coming. He was going to die, and he wanted to encourage the saints before he departed from this scene of time, and he commanded them to add to their faith, because he says in verse 10 that if you do these things, you shall never stumble or fall. And then that last week, we were looking at the second part of the chapter, and we were looking at the subject of hearing the right voice and how important it is for us to remember the word of the Lord and to hear what the Lord would say to us through his word. And he finishes off the chapter by reminding us that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Scripture interprets Scripture. And it's so important for us to remember that. And the reason for that is given now in this next chapter. It's interesting that he spends just 11 verses encouraging us to add to our faith. He gives another 10 verses to encourage us to listen to the right voice. And he spends 22 verses on the next subject. Now, tonight's message may not be as comforting or as encouraging as the last two evenings, but it is just as essential, and especially in the times in which we're living. We're going to be looking at tonight recognizing pernicious prophets, and that's what Peter takes up now. As I say, he's concerned because he's not going to be around much longer, and he knows, as Paul does when Paul spoke in Acts chapter 20, he says that after he departed, that there would be wolves come in to disturb the sheep. And that's the subject that Peter takes up in this second chapter. So let's read together. Let's read thoughtfully and prayerfully. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false prophets, false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels which are greater in power and might bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that counted pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Amen, and we pray the Lord will richly bless the reading of his precious word. Let's just bow together briefly for a moment of prayer. Our loving Father, we are so conscious as we open the scriptures together this evening, we are conscious of our need of the help of thy blessed Spirit. Lord, we realize that the things that we have just been reading, Lord, they are fearful things. They're fearful things, Lord, to understand that these are the kind of people and the kind of things that are happening in our time. And as there is much chaos in the world today, so too there is much chaos within the Church of Jesus Christ. And our Father, we realize that there has been a great increase in false teachers in our time. It's important for us to be aware of how we can identify these people so that we can guard against them. And our Father, we thank you that you've given your word and you've given your Spirit and you've armed us with the truth that we might be able to stand fast in that truth. And as we think on these things this evening, we pray for help for the speaker as well as for the hearer. And we ask our Father that though these things are not pleasant to consider, that we may be edified, built up in our faith, that we will realize the importance of knowing the Word of God, of arming ourselves with thy truth, and carrying forth that shield of truth in the coming days. Lord, help us, we pray, and unto thee we will give all the praise and all the glory, because we ask it for Christ's sake. Amen. Just before we begin to look at this particular passage, there are a number of words that are used in the opening verses. The word damnable, the word destruction, the word pernicious. And all these words are coming from the same word in the original. And if you look at all three words, it gives you an idea of what this word actually means. It means something that is destructive, something that will destroy. And we find those words in the opening verses of this particular chapter. And Peter, having exhorted the saints to be heeding the right voice, he gives us now in this chapter the reason why it is so necessary for us to familiarize ourselves with the voice of God, the Holy Spirit, through the Word. And sad today that many of God's people neglect the Word of God. There are so many who snack on the Word. They are simply taking little tidbits from day to day and trying to live on a sparse diet of the Word of God, if you like. But we need to get into the Word. We need to spend time and allow the Spirit of God to apply the Word to our hearts. And for this reason, Peter says here that there will be false teachers that will come among us. And we see that today. It is a widespread problem. If you think to yourself, when we think even of our little province here, a province that has been known down through the years to be dynamic in sending forth missionaries, of holding fast to fundamental truth of the Word of God. And we look at the churches today, we have to confess that there are many fundamental churches which are now liberal. And the reason for that is this problem that Peter addresses. And it seems to be that we have been neglectful of obeying the Word of God, of arming ourselves with the truth, that we might be able to identify error. That's the way you identify false teaching, by knowing the truth. It is truth that exposes the error. And we need to have men who are office bearers, men who are overseers in the assembly, elders, teachers, pastors, who know the truth and are able to identify error. There are many times that I have been in meetings and the preacher preached error and very few people seem to pick up on it. It's very subtle, you see. Even those who are acquainted with the truth, they can be taken in sometimes. We can be deceived. Because that is the nature of false teachers. And we're going to see that in this passage that we're going to look at this evening. And we always need to measure up the teaching that we hear with the Word of God. We have to be like the Bereans who searched the Scriptures to see if these things were so. In the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20, the Lord says to his people, to the law and to the testimony, speaking about false prophets, he says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And so we have to be ready to measure up what a man says as he preaches, allegedly preaches the word of God. We've got to examine that against the word of God and see if these words are true. We need to be aware of these times of those preachers who claim that the Lord had appeared to them and give them some new revelation or told them some new truth. We have to be very careful about that because, of course, the Lord doesn't make special appearances to anyone today. God reveals himself through the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And he's only going to come again to this world whenever the Father rises up and tells him to go and to bring home his bride. The Lord's going to be at the Father's right hand. And he said that when he went to heaven, he was going to send the Holy Spirit. And it would be the Holy Spirit who would lead us into truth. And I wonder what our relationship is with the Holy Spirit. Because he not only teaches us the truth, but he equips us so that when we hear false teaching, we're going to immediately know there's something wrong here. And it's the Holy Spirit who does that. And we need to be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit and be reading the Word of God and studying the Word of God. We ought to be aware of any new thing that comes in. You know, there's new trends have come and gone and multitudes of people follow them while they're there. And then when they're gone, they don't know what to do. And false teaching has made shipwreck of many dear saints over the years. This is a very serious problem, and we need to take it seriously. And I know there's pastors and preachers and teachers who have been condemned by God's people because they've spoken out against false teachers, especially if they name the false teacher. But you know, if they name the false teacher, they're only following in the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the apostles. And if you're absolutely sure that someone is a false teacher and they're leading God's people astray, you ought to name them out. You ought to warn God's people about who they are. And so it's very, very important. We find these things in the Word of God. Our Lord himself says in Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. But he says, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. They're coming in sheep's clothing. They look innocent enough. They act innocent enough. But he says, inwardly they're ravening wolves. And to the disciples, he says in Luke's Gospel 6 and verse 26, he says, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. And of course, that's the reason we have many false prophets, because people think they're great. And they puff them up and they make them proud. But the Lord says, if men start to speak well of you, just be very, very careful. You see, many people don't like the truth. And even those who name the name of Christ, If you preach the truth as it is in the Word of God, you'll find there's going to be a reaction. I know one pastor was preaching in his church on a certain occasion, and nearly every Sunday he had a queue at the door that wanted to tackle him about certain things that he said. But he was only preaching the truth. And that happens on many, many occasions where pastors are tackled by people who don't like the truth that they've heard. They know it's in the Bible, but they don't like it being preached. And you need to pray for pastors. You need to pray for teachers. Because they're the men, if you like, in the front line who are to teach the truth. They are to guard the flock. That's their purpose, to guard the flock of God and to take care of the sheep. And so as Peter writes this chapter, he's writing it with the purpose of informing God's people of the dangers of these pernicious prophets, these false teachers. And so he writes this so that we can recognize the kind of people that we're talking about. Now, it doesn't mean to say that a pastor or a preacher or a teacher who makes a mistake or makes an error, that he's necessarily a false teacher. It may be just a lack of learning or a lack of teaching. And you need to be very, very careful. We need to treat the preacher with grace and with love. And even if he is a false teacher, if we point out his error, then it is with the hope and the prayer that he might be restored to the truth. So we have to be very, very careful how we approach this whole subject. But when it comes to the part where we know that they're false prophets and they're determined to go on in their false teachings, then they have to be called out for that and they have to be rejected. But let's look at some of the things that Peter says here in this chapter. First of all, I want you to notice that he starts off by revealing to us the deception of false teachers. If you look at verse 1 here, he says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." I want you to notice here, first of all, that these false teachers infiltrate the assembly of God's people. Peter says here they have come in privily or privately. They come in secretively. They don't come in immediately preaching their false teachings. They'll come in quietly. And that's why it's so important when we receive people into the fellowship that we make sure by interview that they are truly saved, that they are baptized in obedience to the word and the command of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they are truly seeking to walk in the truth of God. They're walking in the Spirit. I believe that for many years now there are many who have been negligent, trying to add numbers to the fellowship and not taking proper care of those who are coming in. Now, those who are immature believers, and we've got to take that on board. But we need to be more diligent about those whom we admit into the fellowship of God's people, because these false teachers will come in quietly. They'll come in privately. They'll not make themselves known at the beginning. In verse 4 of Jude's epistle, we read this, "For there are certain men," listen, "crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Jude gives the same teaching. Paul gives the same teaching. These false teachers infiltrate God's people. And they begin to move about and they begin to talk. And they begin to change the minds of God's people privately. And if you're a member of the church and you have someone who comes in and they begin to chat with you in a friendly manner, be very careful what they're saying. Take note of what they say. Examine what they say. And be very, very careful, because they come in privately. It's a serious business. Peter also says here, not only do they infiltrate, he says that they introduce their heresies unnoticed. He says they shall privily bring in damnable or destructive heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. And you know, in recent times, there have been more and more within the assemblies of God's people who are not clear on the person of Christ and on the character of Christ. I believe we need to increase our teaching, the deeper doctrines of our Lord Jesus Christ, of who he really is. Because many of God's people are not clear on it. And that's obvious whenever you have some of these cults who come to the door and they knock the door and the Christians hide behind the curtain. They're afraid to talk to them. We ought to know something about the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's the thing that these cults are in error on. They're all in error upon the person of Christ. And if we claim to be Christ's and we belong to him, we ought to be reading the Bible to find out more about him. I have a friend in Cookstown before he was saved. That's going back about 30 years now. He was one of these guys that was in a band on the 12th of July, breaking the skins on the big drum. He was that kind of a guy. And the Lord began to speak to him. And I went to visit him in hospital one time. He was a bad asthmatic. And I went to visit him in hospital. He still wasn't saved, and his daughter had given him a Bible. When I went in to visit him, he was reading in Matthew's Gospel. I sat down in the bed and we began to talk, and I said, "What are you reading?" And he told me, he says, "If I'm going to get saved," he says, "I need to know the man that's going to save me." He wasn't even saved. And he was wanting to find out more about Christ. Oh, that we would have that zeal and that spirit to find out more about Christ. Because these men are coming into assembly secretly and they are introducing false doctrines. They're introducing heresies. And we need to be careful as we watch over the flock that we are nipping these men at the bud. As soon as they begin to show themselves, we need to call them in, mark them out, and indeed, if necessary, put them out. We need to take it seriously. We don't want God's people led astray. You see, these people are marked by a very quiet and cautious secrecy. They take great pains to avoid being observed. And we need to be on our toes. Whenever Paul was speaking to the oversight in Ephesus in Acts 20, verse 28, he says this: "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves." First of all, the elders need to be diligent in their study. In their own private study and meditations, they need to be close to the Lord. Take heed to yourselves. And then if you take heed to yourselves, he says, and to the flock, all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. Beloved, pray for your elders. They need to be men of the word. And if they are the true elders that they ought to be, biblical elders, men of the word, men of truth, then you need to support them. And you need to take heed to them. And you need to obey them. That's not a very popular word today. We like to think that we are our own boss, we can do things our own way. But in the church of God, that's not the way it's done. If they are true biblical elders, men of God who love the Lord and love God's people, there should be no difficulty in obeying what the elders say. They take the lead. If they take a wrong decision, they're responsible to God. It's like the situation of Peter and John when Peter says, "What shall this man do?" The Lord says, "That's nothing to do with you. You just follow me." And the Word of God commands us to obey those who have the rule over you. And if those men are taking decisions and they're preaching the truth, unless they're preaching error, then you ought to approach the man and speak to him about his error that he's preaching. But otherwise, if he's preaching truth, you need to take heed to what he says and submit to him. Because those are the men that need to be first in the line to tackle these false teachers coming in. They will infiltrate the people of God, and they will introduce their false doctrines, and the elders and the people of God need to be watchful, and they need to inquire what a man really believes. But I want you to notice also, Peter also says that they impact the cause of Christ in a negative way. He says in verse 2, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways." I want you to underline that. Peter's saying that these men are going to get in. He says what they're going to do. But he also says that many are going to follow their destructive ways. I think that's a sad statement. But if the Word of God says it, then it must be true. There are many of God's people who are being led astray by false teaching. I've known quite a few in my experience as a believer down through the years who used to walk with me in the truth. And they have been led astray by false teaching. And they're believing things now. They're forsaking things that they learned in their youth and their younger days from godly men who believed the truth and sacrificed for the sake of the truth. And they're leaving those things. And they've been following destructive doctrines, doctrines that have led them astray. And how sad it is. It's a reality. And you know, dear friends, we're told here that these men impact the cause of Christ because they draw believers away. And they say, he says in verse 2, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Many times have you saw a brother in the assembly who begins to question traditional doctrine. As he calls it, traditional doctrine. If it's traditional doctrine, it's doctrine from the Word of God. And it's good tradition. But you will get sometimes people, and they'll set themselves forth as someone who's informed and someone who knows the Scriptures. And what they'll do is they'll do what Satan did in the Garden of Eden. Hath God said? And that's all they'll do. They'll just ask the question. And they'll put a seed of doubt in your mind about some truth in the Word of God. And that's what Peter says here. He says, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Hath God said? And so they impact the cause of Christ negatively. But they also imply that if you follow their teaching, that you're going to profit by it. You're going to prosper by it. Look at what it says in verse 3. It says, through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. The word merchandise, I suppose a modern idiom would be, they would buy and sell you. They're that clever, you see. Make merchandise of you. And then he says, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. You see, beloved, these men are out to exploit the children of God. And they'll do it in every way possible. They'll do it by making up stories. Those stories will contradict the truth of God's Word. And you know, in the present day in which we're living, there's a great emphasis amongst the people of God upon experiences. And because somebody has had an experience, then it must be true. You can't question that. It's been their experience. How can you question a man or a woman if they say that something has happened? How dare you question that? But all you have to do is to come to the Word of God and say, well, is this measure up to what God says in His Word? We must question these things. Unless they have Scripture to stand over what they say, we ought to reject it. And these false teachers, you see, this is what they're about. But I want you to notice, secondly, not only the deception of these false teachers, but I want you to notice the damnation of these false teachers, the judgment that God has planned for them. The second part of verse 3 says, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. And that just simply means when God's time comes and they stand before God, there will be certain judgment for them. There'll be no lingering in that judgment. When they stand before Almighty God and they've been teaching false teaching and leading God's people astray, God's wrath will be poured out upon them. They will be the ones who will be destroyed. And you know, that destruction, that judgment will come. And Peter gives examples of it. He speaks about this swift destruction that will come. And then he says in verse 4, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." Peter goes back to the Old Testament. And he takes an example out of the Old Testament of judgment by expulsion from the presence of God. These angels that worship God and serve God, they reacted against God. And God expelled them from heaven. God cast them into hell. And Peter uses that example to show that God is going to judge these false teachers. He goes on to say in verse 5, "And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." He speaks not only of a judgment of expulsion, but a judgment of by water. Speaks about that great flood that many people deny in these days. But the Word of God speaks about it here. You need to go back to the book of Genesis, of course, to see how these things unfolded. God does judge wickedness, and he judges false teaching. And then, of course, he speaks about Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities that were judged by fire. Verse 6, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly." Beloved, God is going to judge the ungodly. And these false teachers are ungodly men who are seeking to lead others astray into ungodliness. And the warning comes from the Word of God that the only end for such people is the judgment of God. And that's why we as believers and those of us who are responsible for teaching the Word of God and for feeding the flock and guarding the flock, that's why we need to do our job to the glory of God. Even if people don't like it. And even if people rebel against us as they did in the Old Testament with Moses and David and so forth. We must stand fast in the truth, and no matter what the consequences are, we've got to abide by the truth and protect the flock, because there's going to come judgment upon the ungodly. I find that a very sobering thought, even as a believer. And I know as a believer, we're not going to be punished for our sins. But you know, the Lord speaks of those who are amongst those in the church. And they're doing things in the church, and they appear to be Christians. But when they'll stand before the Lord, he'll say, "I never knew you." I find that a very sobering thought. That's why the Scripture says we are to examine ourselves to see that we are in the faith. I feel that there's many today, and because of some decision they made in their childhood or in their youth, or even in later years, they've made a profession of faith in Christ, and well, they haven't grown very much in the time, in the intervening time. Years have passed, and they know little about the Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps even less than they knew at the beginning. And we need to encourage the saints not to remain static or stagnant. It's so important, as Peter said in chapter 1, to be adding to our faith. That's the evidence that we are truly the Lord's. Because these false teachers are going to come in, and if we're not adding to our faith and we're not hearing the right word, these men are going to lead us astray, and the end of it all is going to be judgment. If we're not truly founded by the Spirit of God upon the Word of God, there are great dangers. I thank God that he knows his own. And he calls his own sheep by name. And those who are his hear his voice. Are you hearing his voice in these days? Does God speak to you when you open your Bible and you begin to read every day? I'm not saying you hear a voice clearly every day. But somewhere along the line, God has got to be speaking to you. When was the last time you heard God's voice speaking to you? Because there's people around who want to lead you astray. And when they lead you, if they lead you astray and you're not truly belonging to the Lord, you will be judged along with these people. These people are going to be judged. God has judged in the past, and God is going to judge in the future. But amidst all this, I love verse 9. Because Peter introduces a little parenthesis just to encourage us. Listen to what he says in verse 9. He says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations." The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. If you're truly a child of God, and you hear something that doesn't ring true, and you go to the Word of God, and you get before God, and you ask God to show you from His Word, and God shows you the truth, God will show you how to be delivered from ungodly teaching. God will show you how to resist false teaching. And that's the wonderful thing that God does. He watches over us. He cares for us. He provides for us. And when we need to be led in the right way, He'll lead us. But notice what the Scripture says. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of trials and temptations. He's going to judge the ungodly, but He delivers the godly. Oh, that we might be godly and be seeking the Lord continually. But you know, I want you to notice here, this is a promise from the Lord. He's going to deliver. But then notice what He says in the next part. He says, "And to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." Oh, how we need to examine ourselves. Are we truly in the faith? We don't want to be numbered amongst the unjust. Even though we attend church, and even though we may even get involved in the church, let us examine ourselves. I love to reminisce on the day that I trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I was only a boy of 10 years of age, but I remember so clearly. Some people can't remember the day, they can't remember the time, but you cannot but remember the experience of the day that you met the Lord. The day that the burden of sin was lifted, only a boy of 10 years of age, but I knew I was a sinner. And those are the things that we need to come back to sometimes and to examine ourselves and to ask ourselves the question, how have I grown? How have I progressed? If I'm not growing, then start to grow. We need to examine ourselves because God has reserved the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. There's a day coming. Judgment day someday. And we don't want to be caught out. What you notice then that Peter returns then to the declarations of the false teachers. Look at verse 10. It says there, "But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government." Our time's flying, but let me just mention a number of things here. He gives a description. First of all, they walk after the flesh in the lust of polluted things. Them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. When these men are exposed, and of course men have been exposed from time to time publicly, and they certainly weren't Christian men. They were preaching in the pulpit for a long time before anybody caught on what they were really like. And that's the kind of men that Peter's talking about here. They walk after the flesh. They despise lordship. Verse 10 says, "Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities or honor." Now, the Word of God says that we are to honor those who are in authority. We are to obey those whom God has placed as overseers in the church. And if you begin to dishonor the man that God has placed to care for the flock, you're in great danger. These men, these false teachers, they're not afraid to speak evil of the men of God, to contradict them, undermine them. And that's one of the symbols, that's one of the signs, that's one of the descriptions of a false teacher. Not only that, but we're told that they're proud. It says in verse 11, whereas angels which are great in power and might bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord, but these men are different. Angels wouldn't dare bring railing accusations against God's men, the men who are looking after the flock of God. But these, he says, as natural brute beasts. These unintelligent animals. He says they're just like unintelligent animals. They don't care. They don't care for the flock. He says they're like unintelligent animals made to be taken and destroyed. They speak evil of things that they understand not. They don't even understand true doctrine. They've made up fables. They've made up stories. And Peter says again, they shall utterly perish in their own corruption. He says, they shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that counted pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you. They're doing all these things, and they're sitting amongst God's people. They're remembering the Lord at the Lord's table. And they're doing all these things behind backs. And beloved, if you know someone like that in the assembly, you ought to tackle them and speak to them. And if they don't take heed to you, then go to the elders and speak to them. Because if you let it go, it's going to infect a whole lot of other people. It's not easy to do. And nobody will thank you for it. But it's the right thing to do. We need to edify one another, and we need to guard one another. We need to care for one another. Because these men are real. They're abounding in our day. As the time passes on for the Lord's coming, these things are going to be more and more obvious. There are troublesome times, and there are many false teachers abounding. He goes on in the description, and I'll let you read it for yourself. We don't have time to go down through the whole description and of their deeds and everything they do. He speaks about them being drunk with pleasure, the spots and blemishes, reveling in their own delusions, engaging in pornography and pursuing after people and seeking out possessions for themselves. And all those things are in those verses that we don't have time to go down through tonight. But read it and study it and pray over it and ask the Lord to show you the kind of people these are and look out for them. Don't be thinking that you are not like this. If the Lord's going to bless you, Satan is going to send these in amongst you to disturb the flock. Satan doesn't want you to be blessed. Satan doesn't want sinners to be saved. And he doesn't always come out into the open. He'll send in these false teachers amongst you. They'll sit for a little while. And then they'll just gradually begin to nibble away at different members in the church. Bring about discouragement. Start sowing their seeds of false doctrine. And before you know it, you'll have the whole church split. Take it seriously. This is the word of God. These things are given to us that we might know and understand what's going to happen in the last days. God gives us these warnings, and we ought to sit up and take note. And I know this isn't popular teaching. This isn't that comforting and encouraging word that we like to hear. But it's essential. It's necessary. These false teachers, he says in verse 17, they're unsatisfied and unsatisfying. They're unstable. He says they are wells without water. You know what it's like if you go to a well and there's no water in it. There's no satisfaction in that, is there? And that's what these false teachers are like. And that's what your life becomes when you follow them, an unsatisfied life. Clouds, he says, that are carried with the tempest. They're driven on by a tempest, by a whirlwind. They're unstable, blown about by every wind of change. Look at it very carefully. But the whole danger, just let me finish up by pointing out the danger. Verse 18. It says, when they speak great swelling words of vanity or emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that are clean escape from them who live in error. They allure those people who have listened to the word and who desire to follow the word. But by allurements, they draw them away from the truth. Not only by allurement, but by enslavement. Verse 19 says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. And then he speaks of entanglement in verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. I know there's some people have a great debate about this. Are these people saved or they're not saved? They're not saved. That's the simple truth of the matter. These are people who have a knowledge of the truth, but they're not saved. There may be someone who's just on the brink, and the devil's trying to stop them from being saved. And they're the people that these men are going to draw away and entangle once again in the things of the world. And Peter says in verse 21, it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. You notice he uses the word they and them. He's not speaking about the believers now. He's speaking about those who are on the fringes and who are going to be drawn away by false teaching. He says in verse 22, but it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. These are not believers. The word of God never refers to a believer as a dog or a sow, a pig. These are people who are not saved, but they're on the fringes of the church. They're mixing in with the church. They're putting on a Christian coat, if you like, but they're not saved. And they're the ones who are in the greatest danger because they don't have the indwelling Holy Spirit. And they're going to be drawn away back out into the world again. Beloved, I believe we're in these times that Peter speaks about. Times when false teachers are abounding. Time when the truth of God is being questioned. And indeed, we've got to be honest. There are many things in the church today that have been dropped. I remember way back in my youth, my teens, the standards that were in the church then. We don't have those standards anymore. Many things have been dropped for convenience. We hold in our hand a book. That's the unchanging word of God. God's standards don't change. God's standards for the church doesn't change. Let me just mention one, and it might not be popular with some. Head covering. It's not about a hat. It's not about anything like that. It's about God's order. It's about the headship of Christ. And I've often said in my lifetime, as I have seen women taking the covering off their head, a symbol of their obedience to their head, they're honoring their head, who is the man. So the honor of the Lord has disappeared. Christ's headship is virtually non-existent in many places in the church today. It's just a symbol, but it's an important symbol. We need to honor the Lord. And we need to obey what the Word of God teaches on these things. There are many other things that have been left aside in the Church of Christ today. We need to get back to the Word. Because you see, the devil will get a foothold in these things. And that's when the slide begins. And that's why many of our churches have become liberal today. Because just little by little, these false teachers have got their way. And we are as far from God as we possibly can get as believers. We are in that age that the Bible talks about as the Laodicean age. We're neither cold nor hot. And to put it crudely, God's ready to vomit us out of his mouth. That's what he says. We are in the last of the last days. Let us awaken up. It's time to stand fast. It's time to sound forth. It's time to return to the Lord, that he will have mercy upon us and that he will empower us to take our stand in this world in which we live today. May the Lord bless his word, and may the Lord challenge us to be faithful in these times. We're going to close with 406, please. 406, through all the changing scenes of life and trouble,